Once again, we have another exciting segment of Reclaiming History right here at 105.3 FM, the Sanctuary for Independent Media. I'm Lavonia Mallory. Today, we have a very special guest. Dorothy Kim teaches medieval literature at Brandeis University. Her research focuses on race, gender, the digital humanities, medieval women's literature, culture, medievalism, Jewish and Christian differences, books of history, digital media, and the alt-right. She was the 2013-14 fellow at the University of Michigan Frankel Institute of Advanced Judaic Studies, where she drafted a monograph entitled Jewish-Christian Entanglements, Anchoring Wise and Its Material Worlds, which is forthcoming from the University of Toronto Press. She also has two books, The Alt-Medieval Digital Whiteness and Medieval Studies, and Decolonize the Middle Ages, forthcoming from ARC Press. She is co-editing A Cultural History of Race in the Renaissance and Early Modern Age from 1350 to 1550, with Kimberly Coles, University of Maryland, College Park. Also is editing a special issue of Medieval Feminism Forum, a journal of gender and sexuality on medieval trans feminism. Dorothy Kim, welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History.
Thank you for having me, and I'm delighted to be on.
And you wrote in the encyclopedia about race?
Yes. So I was asked by Ruth Mazzocaras, who's a medieval historian, to write the entry for race in the new Encyclopedia of the Middle Ages. And in the process of trying to figure out, like, how do I frame what's going on with this term, it really became an exercise in me sort of working out why this term has become such a pushback issue amongst particularly my medieval historian colleagues, and why they continue to say that I should be using the term ethnicity. And that really is about medieval history as a field ignoring basically 50 years of historical methodology and 50 years of research about the historiography of their field.
Wow.
It'll be interesting conference discussion at some point. That'll be very interesting in so many ways. And, you know, to be very straightforward and honest about it, yes, what I'm really saying to them is they're not being actually research rigorous, but also basically they have replicated a history of white supremacist historical methodology for 50 years.
Why do they cling so much to this white identity in the Middle Ages? Why does this have so much importance to them? Why are they holding on so tight to have this false narrative of a white Europe without any people of color in it?
It feeds into their vision of their future, right? Because what they're really wanting is this sort of utopic white nationalist, ethno-nationalist state. And so they're going back to the past to say, see, this is where it was happening for us, and we can celebrate all the things that were happening in that white Middle Ages, and no one will call us out because there weren't any of these other groups. We're using that as a kind of model for this kind of future, right, that they're really sort of pushing for. So they see the Middle Ages as one of the areas. They also go back to classics. So classics also has like a white supremacist problem.
So I want to shift gears here. We spent a lot of time talking about the alt-right, and they're trying to claim or whiteify the Middle Ages.
Yes.
Are there other types of historians that are writing and talking about the cross-cultural pollinization that was happening during that period, including yourself and others? Are there people out there writing another view of that period?
Yes, there are, actually. And I think I would immediately say that in a sort of Iberian studies, the work of Maria Menocal has really been the driving force there in discussing this kind of cultural nexus. I think that Michael Gomez's work on medieval Africa, which is a huge discussion about African medieval civilization, and basically very much along the exhibit of Rivers of Gold, thinking through that work. I think my colleagues who work on medieval Ethiopia, which was Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, and had a huge and very massive cultural production of various kinds of material culture, religious culture, literary, artistic culture. I think there is definitely work being done. I think there are other historians who are also thinking and talking about this, if that makes sense. Yes. But I think there's also, so there is a kind of push to forefront this work. I think the recent book by my colleague Geraldine Hang at the University of Texas Austin, who just came out in March with The Invention of Race in the Middle Ages, is really going to sort of change the conversations in the field, because she's basically defining the frame out of discussing race in the Middle Ages in that book in a very wide way. She talks about everything from the Vinland Saga and this thinking through the indigenous point of view of the Vinland Saga in North America, to talking about the Crusades in the Mediterranean, to talking about actually the Roma and the sort of history of thinking about the Roma in the Middle Ages, to talking about, actually, she does a chapter also about England. It basically has a wide range, if that makes sense. Multiple areas across Europe, and thinking about multiple different groups and different configurations and things like that. I think that will be really important in the future, and is already very important now in kind of reframing a lot of this discussion. So there's stuff coming out. I think the issue has been also the issue of that if we are academics in the ivory tower and we're only talking to each other, this does not help on the ground how to sort of shift this conversation in both popular culture, but also in sort of white supremacist, particularly digital spaces about this. That's become the other part of how to push back against this sort of frame of the white Middle Ages. It's like, how does this information then go out to the public so that they realize that there are resources and information that suggests that no, you know, this is inaccurate, this is not the case, etc.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about this segment at 105.3 FM, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, Reclaiming History, is a way to get out to the general public all of the resources that are available about the wide variety of opinions and views of that period and other historical periods. And we here at 105.3 FM appreciate all of the time and effort and energy that you put into your work. And we appreciate that you're strong enough to handle all of the pushback, because we need you exactly where you are, writing and fighting, you know, as my grandmother would say, fighting the good fight. I want to say thank you for all of your hard work.
Oh, you're welcome.
Is there anything else we've missed, or anything else you think my listeners need to hear about your work, about your future work, and what's going on with you next?
I think one of the things that I think would be interesting for your listeners to understand is that as we have had various histories of white supremacist visions of the Middle Ages, and we can even go back to sort of fairly recent American histories of the 19th century, the idea of manifest destiny and the Anglo-Saxon sort of, you know, utopic dream, which was absolutely linked to the Middle Ages with Jefferson onward. We also have communities who are pushing back. So my colleague Matthew Vernon's recent book, Race, sort of Blackness and the Construction of the Middle Ages, he talks about various ways that 19th century African Americans were pushing back on this. So you have, like, for instance, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a medieval romance called Dark Princess. There was Frederick Douglass actually talked about his name in relationship to kind of medieval Scottish world as a way to push back against the Anglo-Saxons. My colleague Cord Whitaker at Wellesley has been recently giving talks about how if you had in the antebellum South the white slave owners basically getting together this form of ideas of medieval chivalry and would have these sort of like medieval tournaments and things like that. African Americans were having tournaments in that period to push back against that. And I think that's the sort of new work that I'm really interested in, to think about what these communities in the 19th and 20th century have written or, you know, performed or done to push back against, have used the Middle Ages to push back against the white supremacist vision of the Middle Ages. And I think that's, that actually has a nice kind of historical resonance in the sense that this is what I also see in contemporary spaces now, in digital spaces.
Dr. Kim, I can't believe it. We are out of time, but we've got to have you back on the show once again. To my listeners, make sure you tune in. Dr. Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.